Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom or Robots, and I don't know where Lotus is. Lotus has disappeared. The world has been crazy. Lotus and I both had some things going on. We couldn't record with our patrons at the normal time that we expected to. And so here we are late, but at least we've got me and the patrons, and maybe Lotus will pop in as we get into this episode. But this week we are discussing lesser known lesser known NPCs, but also maybe NPCs you knew about that deserve a little bit more credit, a little bit more popularity or respect and that sort of thing. But welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to all of our patrons. We have with us Ben of Temeria and Rob the Princess and Falcon with a box on, Baron von Gingy, Wasteland Oni, we got two new people for the first time in this show, and Professor Bayless joining us again. Welcome, everybody. So excited to get into this because it's so fun to talk about some of these lesser known characters, and I have a feeling some of you are going to bring up characters that I haven't thought about in a long time, and so you're going to need to fill in some of the details on, like, okay, remember this quest line where you do this thing and there's this guy over here? Okay, yeah, got it. So let's just dive in. Who would like to kick this off? Does somebody have somebody that they just can't wait to talk about? Somebody that is notable, or maybe somebody everybody's forgotten? I see Rob's hand. Rob?
I mean, no one else went, so I was like, yeah, let's go. We were talking a little bit about the pre-show, and we're like, oh, maybe, you know, if we're trying to go for lesser known, followers probably aren't a good pick. And I was like, well, I don't know. I got a follower that I think is a pretty good pick for this, so I'll lead in with that one. So this is a character I have brought up on the show before, and when I did bring her up, people were like, who the heck is that? And the people who did know were like, oh my God, I love her. She's great. But a lot of people didn't know her. So it's Ilya from the Darklight Towers. That's in Skyrim. I love my Skyrim NPCs, so that's what I'll be focusing on. And she's a witch who I think it's like outside of that town right next to the mountain, the Dragonthroat Mountain. I can't remember
the town next to
like the central southern
river. Iverstead?
Iverstead. It's not in Iverstead, but the Darklight Tower is near Iverstead, from my memory. If it's not, I'm sorry.
It's but, in like the Jarrell Mountains range, like right, like kind of near the center of the rift, but a little bit closer to Iverstead than Riften.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. And so if you're just like kind of walking around the wilderness in there, you'll find her, and she's just asks you for help, and you help her free herself from the coven that she is in because she is a witch, and she is about to do her like becoming ceremony where she like goes to the next stage of her life and becomes like a full member of the coven, because I think she's like becoming an adult. I think it's like her birthday or something. Not a great birthday.
Thing with her mother, right?
Yeah, her mother is there, and they are tasked to kill a man who I think Ilya had lured or something. I'm going off memory here because I actually haven't played this in years, but it's okay. Super cool because she's like, this is all I knew, so this is the life I lived, and I didn't really think of anything being wrong, but the more I get into this lifestyle, the more people I hurt, and I just want to get out of this life. And it's a really like noble like quest that you help her with, and it's kind of sad that she like has all this pain, and she doesn't even recognize it to be pain until this point in her life, and then you help her kill her hag raven mother and escape from the coven.
Yeah, so yeah, the quest line that's associated with her is called Repentance. I have the info up on the screen as you talk about this. I don't remember all the details either, but part of the quest is to try to help prevent her mother from transforming into a Hagraven. And then I suppose it could go in a direction where she does, and then you have to take her out.
I remember her being a Hagraven. Maybe there's other Hagravens there because it's a coven, because there are other, I think, but
she can die. Yeah, it looks like you can kill her, maybe, or she dies in the quest line as part of the quest. So yeah, it seems like it gets pretty dark. This whole, I guess that's why maybe you don't go into witchcraft if you live in Skyrim.
Yeah, I mean, well, she didn't get into it. She literally grew up in it. Her mom just raised her as a witch.
Yeah.
And it's sad that like she is like just kind of trapped in this lifestyle, and she didn't recognize it to be bad until the more she like kind of got her own individual thought, and she's like, oh, what I'm doing is hurting people. This is not a good life to live. And she just found someone who's like, hey, you seem capable, please help me get out of this life. And it kind of like feels like when you have like those real life stories of people that are just trapped in really bad situations, and they're going to be stuck in that situation for the rest of their life unless the right circumstance comes by and they get to save their life. And it's just a cool moment in game to work with.
Yeah, that is cool. I think it's also one of those things that is that I'm able to appreciate about Skyrim, in that characters like this are also companions. They're not just these main characters you come across and main plot lines in the game. Like you just stumble into this tower and there's a situation here, and then you go, oh, okay, I guess I can have a companion. She can hang out with me.
I don't really like traveling with mages like mechanically in a game, because like they just do too much AoE damage and I get killed all the time. But I was like, this girl is so cool. I really liked her story, and she's like my go-to follower most of the time, just because I like her story a lot.
Nice, nice. Well, let's open this up. Do the rest of you remember Ilya?
Do you have experience?
You adore her?
She's great. She's so precious. Nice. She's like, I want to give her a hug because I feel bad for her that she never knew better. She's so great.
I actually don't remember her.
So, Baron Von Gingy, you don't remember her? Maybe you just never came across? I mean, there's so many places in Skyrim, sometimes you just don't happen
it's
in the right
It's very
spot.
Possible you just never did the quest, because you have to just run into it in the wilderness.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I've only done that quest once, and it was very recently, and I've played Skyrim since release, and I was like, is this a new quest they added? Like, I had no idea about this one, but I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, voice acting, it isn't new. That's been in there since day one.
I just did that quest within the last week, and I could not have told you her name.
Yeah, well, that's... I'm the same way, but I'm also really bad with names.
No, not to me.
it breaks my heart.
Yeah, but it's part of what's so wonderful about Skyrim, you know? Like, I mean, you guys have probably seen me stream games where I'm like, I'll come across something, and I'm like, was this in the original game, or did they add this? Was this a mod? Like, I don't even remember this part. And then, like, somebody like Rob will be there and be like, yes, Tom, that was in the original game. And I'm like, how did I miss that?
How do you not remember Schmingledorf?
Like, I don't know. I did, and it was like 14 years ago, and who even remembers anymore? So, okay, cool. So we're starting off with Ilya. This seems like one that's absolutely worth finding if you haven't found before, a different companion and a storyline that seems pretty dark. So that's always fun.
Mm.
So cool, Rob. Awesome. Good way to start us off. Thank you for suggesting this one. Who would like to go next? We've got Professor Bayless joining us. Professor, Lord Professor. I know you've been debating a few different ones to bring up.
I'd like to talk about a character that nobody knows about named Jubal Lun Sewell.
Okay, so we're not going with Durnavir.
No, I'm not
going
to talk about Coda. I'm joking. Okay. It's not going to be Coda.
All right.
My goat, possibly the Under King, probably not, but maybe, according to Daggerfall, he was the coolest character in the Elder Scrolls. Mm-hmm. Zurin Arctis. Huh. A very important character to the story of Daggerfall, but who played Daggerfall? Nobody played Daggerfall except for me and like
Lotus.
Maybe 80 other people.
You and Lotus. Yeah. I mean, I've dabbled in it, but I definitely don't have a full playthrough.
Most people haven't finished the game,
right?
Because it aged like... It's depending difficult. On what you like, it aged well, or depending on what you like, it might have aged like milk.
Yes.
But
Daggerfall, am I right?
Daggerfall is so goated, dude. You have no idea.
And why are there so many places in Tamriel with fell or fall in the name? Have you ever wondered that?
It's kind of like how like every Dragonforce song has the phrase far away in it, you know?
Things be falling these days, you know?
You know, things be falling.
But I'll cut to the chase with Zurin Arctis because he has so much going on with him. He was Tiber Septim's Imperial Battle Mage. He personally built the Soul Gem that powered the Numidium, which Tiber Septim used to conquer the Somerset Isles. He saw Tiber Septim was kind of being a bit of a jerk with it. Was like, I'm not cool with that. And this guy, such a powerful mage, people called him like an incarnation of Magnus, was like, I'm going to go stop it. Intercepts it midair, fights a giant brass mecha on his own, blows it up, and sort of becomes almost undead because his soul was in the Mantella, which would power the Numidium. He's not fully dead. Maybe it's him. I'm assuming the Under King is him because it's either him or Ysmir Wolfarth, but it's probably both. I don't know.
Or are they even the same person at some point?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It's this crazy. Maybe it's the same situation as like Mana Marco in the same game where he's both the Necromancer's Moon and the King of Worms. I don't know. The point is, this guy is so confusing. He has one of the coolest quotes ever, which I have pulled up on the UESP. I love his quote specifically about the Mantella, where he talks about how, where was it? It is the heart of Tiber Septim's Battle Mage. It is my heart. It is my Mantella. It is my totem. It belongs to me and to none other. I have won and lost an empire. I have no desire to tamper further with mortal affairs. And then he talks about how he's done with trying to continue his unlife and just wants to pass on. He wants peace. He's been the being that gave Tiber Septim the power to wage war and create an empire. He just wants peace. He wants to be done. He wants it all to end. He wants freedom from his mortal coil. He's just really cool. I think he's awesome.
He's really so tired.
Cool. And nobody knows about how cool this guy is because it's Daggerfall. The farthest people go back is Morrowind, and Morrowind is already probably too far back for most people. The farthest a lot of people probably go back is Oblivion now that there's a remake. Which
as a true son of Skyrim, yeah. I don't acknowledge anything you're saying about Zurin.
You say that like he isn't.
Oh,
where
no.
did my face go? You say that like he isn't instrumental in the greatest Nord hero of all time. Wasn't even a Nord, by the way. Becoming a legend.
Also, he's Tiber Septim's boyfriend.
Okay.
Maybe. Like, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Is he?
I wasn't there. That's like 300 years before me, you know?
This is the deafening silence after this. Like, what?
Wait. Well, is there actually evidence for that?
I was just joking because it's like he's close advisor. Right. They're always together, you know.
Maybe he was a eunuch.
Are the doors always closed?
I would argue that like he probably like
they spent a lot of time together in that.
I was about to say something which would not be cool on this stream. I'm sorry. I caught myself. Appreciate you, Tom. You're the man. You're the best.
Thanks. Well, this is fun.
Zurin Arctis is such a cool character.
Yeah.
He's a legendary figure in lore. The Arcturian Heresy, phenomenal read, by the way.
Yes.
It is what got me personally into Elder Scrolls lore. Because when I first played Skyrim, I was like, yeah, this is cool or whatever. It's like Fallout. But then I read the Arcturian Heresy. Mind blown, some of the best in-game text I've ever had the pleasure of reading until I got into Kirkbride stuff, obviously, because Coda.
Didn't Kirkbride write the that? I think he wrote that. Am I wrong?
I'm checking this on UEFP.
Yeah, look it up.
It's a safe assumption. Look it up.
I feel like
oh my god, I need to see this now.
I feel like it's a Kirkbridean authored document.
But I'm pretty sure he
just off the top of my head.
Didn't he start with what's it called? Redguard? I gotta see this. The Arturian Heresy in lore.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I read a
by the Underking.
Blah, blah, blah. Writer is Michael Kirkbride.
Oh my God! ESP. It is.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I read an interview with him.
MKB.
It's him. I read an interview with him so recently where he talked. He and one of the other authors talked about getting into the series late because they came on board the team during Redguard and then Morrowind and all of those games, and how he took the opportunity to. Basically consolidate the existing lore and then expand it. And so that's why so many of those books, especially during the time of Redguard,
I love MKB's writing so much,
were written.
I feel like he added to the character so much post the character's appearance in the game. That's what probably makes me love it so much, because this is a character who you see expanded on more after you ever get the chance to interact with them.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that's why characters like Zur and Arctos and all of these other characters, and then a lot of the world events that are still foundational, and a lot of the things that they planned, and this is what's really, really cool. In the late 90s, when they were planning for Morrowind and they ended up doing Redguard and then working on Morrowind, they had planned like their look forward in the lore and the way the lore was going to play out has played out roughly to plan from that time way back then. Now, of course, there have been changes and things have been made, but the intention to get to the Tribunal and then to get to the dragons coming back to Skyrim and all of that stuff, like the seeds of that was all planted back then. Absolutely. So for people who are like us, the writing in Skyrim isn't as good. And the original writers would never brought back dragons. That doesn't make sense. Well, no, that was absolutely the plan.
Maybe it's a little bit different from how they would have done it, but sure, yeah, it's still there.
It's still there. And the things that they were debating where they would go after this,
a little different.
Yeah. Where they're going for Elder Scrolls 6, the seeds were planted still way back then. So that's part of, it
Dude,
got
I can't
me even
wait
more excited.
Like 45 and Elder Scrolls 6 comes out. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, it might be just a year or two.
I'm getting an Underking tattoo. I don't know where I'm getting it. I'm getting his hand, like the one.
Get it under your king.
Under your king.
Inner thigh tattoo. Hell yeah.
I bet that's going to feel real good.
That's what you, okay.
I'm getting his hand reaching out like the one on the cover of, like on the cover of the game,
yes.
Reaching out to the Mantella with the quote, "It belongs to me and to none other." That's going to be so
Yeah, you could get it
dude.
Like
it's gonna be the sickest tattoo ever.
Yeah, you get it holding your Mantella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My totem.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for starting that.
There are some places where tattoos are a lot more painful than others. And
I'm
have a feeling
so
that
real.
Would be real bad.
I've been getting back into Elder Scrolls recently. I did like 2 or 3 years without it because I broke the script extender. Until Nexus Mods, the Legends, it's like on the website now. You can put the script extender in through your mod manager. Mm-hmm. I've got back into it. For like 5 months, I've only been playing Skyrim. I feel bad. I've glazed so many other games that I've wanted that I've barely touched because I just keep going back to Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
All of the CODA stuff has got me back into the series so hard that I just... My favorite character, Zur and Arctis, I need more of him. He's so cool. He's
I have
like,
bad news, Bayless.
I know he's never coming back. I don't care.
Long gone.
I just love him so much.
He died.
Yeah.
I'm aware I helped him.
Yeah. You helped him.
I played Daggerfall like 3 times. I could only bring myself to do a different ending once because
maybe,
I didn't know about him.
Maybe in Elder Scrolls 6 we'll encounter Talos, defeat Talos, and he'll return back to 3 mortal men.
We'll stab him in the heart,
already,
and then
dude.
He'll divide into 3 people.
I played Onslaught.
All right. Well, here,
that model right
here let's rally the cats. I feel like I'm corralling cats. This is a fun conversation, but we need to keep things moving forward. So, does anybody else have any thoughts about Zur and Arctos that you want to chime in about? Let's open this up. Anybody else? I feel like you've said a lot. I don't know if there's a whole lot of much else to say, but
my bad.
Ben, did you have something?
Never heard of him.
No, you didn't say too much. I'm just saying that like I'm not sure there's a whole lot else we need to add other than like pretty badass mage guy who did some really cool stuff. Worth knowing about for sure. Any other thoughts on this? Anybody? No. Okay. Cool.
He's just the coolest.
He's pretty cool. He's pretty. Yeah, he's and it's like part of the fun is the mystery. You know,
I like to imagine that he had a lightsaber.
Okay.
Just because he's that cool,
okay.
He deserves one.
All right.
He does deserve one. You're right.
He has a soul gem, and that power. That's the kyber crystal for his lightsaber, and it's just a sword that ignores armor in game, like gameplay wise. But it's gonna be an ESO someday. because it's going to be, and you're not going to know, but in the future, there's going to be an Elder Scrolls 6 going to mention this artifact that only appeared in ESO. By the way, Zurinark just had it because he's just that guy. He's that cool.
He's that cool. He's that cool. What if sword singing is just lightsabers? Like we get like Redguard, like Elder Scrolls 6 Redguard or something, right? And it's like, oh,
and the singing is just making lightsaber noises with your mouth.
Just be, right, it's right. Just they go into battle.
Plot again, but instead of dragonborns, it's going to be sword singers, and they're going to simplify it a lot, and it's going to be like,
yeah, but then,
like, it's going to be super sick.
Right, but they go into battle, and then they're like, all right,
oh, all right, sword singers, build, unite, buff a different Wong. Stat.
And then it lights up your sword.
And they just reboot the whole series with the next title, and all of this established lore just disappears.
The end of the storyline. You do the Pancratos sword, like Vivek's sword meeting with Cyrus the Restless, and then you're going to reset the timeline, and you're just going to go back to Arena, and then they can just do reboots forever.
There you go. There you go.
Bethesda's solved. Got a new model for the rest of time.
Solved. Absolutely solved. All right, Professor. Thank you for being a really cool. thank you for bringing Zernactus and saving Bethesda and planning out the games from this point forward. All right, who would like to go next? Let's keep this rolling. Who has a character they'd like to share? Somebody that needs some extra credit. Oni. Oni's joined us. I saw Oni's hand, so we'll go to Oni. Also, Wasteland Oni. Previously joined me on the Fallout Lorecast, but also this was your suggestion. This was your idea, right?
Yeah, it was. All right. So mine should be a bit more familiar to people now that the Oblivion remaster's come out. I'll start with just a quote, and I'm sure most of you will either get it or you will not. No, run that. I'll belly toe before I crable. Gull burst in it.
Professor Bayless is like, I don't know what's happening. Right.
Bayless recognized the quote, is my guess, because freaking out.
Yeah.
The character is Bolwing. He's a Bosmer in Shivering Isles. He's just talks gibberish. Anytime you talk to him, you just gibberish. There's a few quests that you can get where you'll start understanding him, which is the Forker, the Horror of Palation from Big Head. He'll give you a amulet to understand him. But other than that, this character just... You never know what he's talking about.
That's great. That's great. Do you have some of his other quotes there where you can read them?
Yeah, he's got, I'll calicrate the Findu. I will. You tarotate it. Ranny Roo, Ranny Roo.
Yeah, right.
Just fribble it.
Have you ever tried to just speak gibberish? It's actually pretty hard without repeating sounds in a weird way that doesn't feel natural.
I had to practice some of these quotes just for this.
I say when I first think of gibberish, I just think of like words souped together that don't make me much sense. But like those ones aren't even words; they're just sounds.
It's just,
and that's a lot harder to actually say.
Some of it like is linked together. Like when you ask for a rumor, he will say, "No, I ran that. I'll belly toe before I crable." So he. Kind of when he just the way they've put it,
it's some words,
very smartly written, because you're like, okay, it sounds like he's saying like, I will basically not speak. I'm not going to talk about it, but it's still gibberish, so
he's saying these things with purpose, but you have no idea what the hell he's saying.
right. What's also fun for us, I think, is the fact that you have an Australian accent, and most of us are American. We have American accents. So if you were to really commit hard with one of those phrases, I would probably look at you like, it must be something that's Australian, and I just don't know what it is. Like, is that a reference? Is that some sort of slang that I'm just not familiar with? So you could probably commit hard on that, and I'd be like, okay.
And just to answer Professor Bayless's question in chat, no, that character is Fimian. I can't remember how to pronounce it, but he's the sweet raw one. So a different character that wants the calming pants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. But they're both just as crazy as each other.
Yeah. I love the opportunity of the Shivering Isles to bring in characters like this that are just bunkers. Super fun.
For the first time ever, like last week. So I got that reference because I just got to talk to him.
Nice. What did you think? Did you have a reaction? Was it memorable? Clearly it's memorable enough to know now, but
Well, I haven't finished it yet, but being in Che Gorath's mind is a trip anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Did you play through Oblivion originally when it first came out?
No.
Okay. So this was your first experience.
Correct.
That's cool. That's cool. Does it? Okay. So a little side path. Does it hold up? Did you, what was your, especially this part, so, like the Shivering Isles part and well, as a whole, I don't want to side rail this into a whole conversation about Oblivion again. We've already had that, but Baron is new. And so I haven't gotten Baron's take on this, but also just kind of, especially the Shivering Isles stuff and those, like, were you surprised? What was your kind of general feeling about it all?
It's a strange feeling going from like this really beautiful world that's been reimagined in Unreal Engine. And I remember it from when I was a kid and how like wonky feeling it was. And then you step into the Shivering Isles and it was nighttime when I got there. So I looked up and, you know, you're looking at the, like what looks like a galaxy. Mm-hmm. And then you look down and you end up fighting these like alligator looking things. And it was just like a trip to go from something really beautiful to something really like beautifully tragic.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, cool. It's always fun to get people's perspectives on things like years later, right? Because I can't have the experience of playing it for the first time right now, you know? And so to see that through other people's eyes. So, all right, well, let's go back to this character real quick. Does anybody else have any thoughts on what was going on with this quest line and this character? Baylis has a big heart shape. I think
I almost hit the floor the first time I tried.
Baylis dropped his keyboard. You almost hit the floor, Baron?
Yeah, because the interaction, like when you try to talk to him and he spits the gibberish at you, it just totally caught me off guard.
Nice. Nice. Cool stuff. All right. Oni, any other thoughts on this one before we move on?
Not so much. He's very minor character. He's only like linked to one quest, I'm pretty sure. And other than that, he just repeats the same lines. So
seems like a perfect character to create a mod that turns him into a companion. And then just keeps repeating the nonsense everywhere you go.
It'd be like a Doring fan, but on the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great. I also love when the developers get to really break the mold, kind of go outside of the realm of expected things when stuff like this happens. And they clearly are, you know, coming out of left field with just like, oh, you know, it'd be really weird. It's some guy just speaks gibberish. All right, let's do it. And then they put it in the game. That stuff really does improve the experience for me, and I think you probably feel the same way, Oni.
Yeah, it's, I just like those just wacky characters and all ones that just don't quite seem that they fit in the normal as all the other characters do. So when you get one like that, it just kind of stands out and you're like, it's like memorable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very cool, wonderful character to bring up. Who would like to go next? A few people left. Baron, you're new. Baron, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, sure.
What's your lesser? Is it a lesser known NPC? Is it an NPC that just needs more respect? What do you have?
So I have I don't know if people are going to know him, but he's actually a beggar in Windhelm.
I don't like where this is going.
Yeah. His name is Angrenor, once honored.
I know exactly who that is.
Yeah, he's he might be a little racist with stone fists, but the reason I picked him is he's actually, from what I remember anyways, he's the only beggar that you can marry.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you give him a gold coin, you can marry him.
Wow.
And then you can get the 2-for-1 steward and spouse for your house.
Huh. Wow. Okay. I did not realize that.
Keep begging you after you marry him?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Dude, he's got that Sigma male grind set.
The grind never stops. Even after he's married and has a home, so he's still asking you for money.
Something
else that's interesting about him is if you give him the gold coin, right, he's your friend. Mm-hmm. But if he was to die, you get an inheritance of 100 gold from him for being his friend.
Everything he saved up, 100 gold. Aw.
I believe he is at the front gates when you first walk into Windhelm, and him and one of the other citizens are...
It's him and Rolf accosting that woman.
Yeah, harassing a Dunmer
the
woman.
The Stone Fist guy.
He's just kind of sitting there while Rolf does all of it. He's just kind of...
The other guy's definitely doing more of it, but he's just the yes not man. Stopping it by any means. He's encouraging it.
He's just kind of like, you get him! Yeah! He's a loser, but he's the best because he's a loser.
Yeah, so I pulled up his picture again, and I definitely remember him now that I look at him. I also get a sort of, I don't know, we have Bruce Willis at home kind of vibe from him. Like, right? Like, I don't know, the more I look at him.
Specifically not at home. He is homeless.
He is homeless, but if you're like, hey, Mom, can we have Bruce Willis? We'd be like, no, we already have Angrenor, once honored. Not the same. But he's got like that, you know, like kind of... I don't know, sculpted white guy, the bald
balding
face,
but still looks a little badass.
Muscular, kind of bald ass.
I was gonna say, he's kind of got that like loser version of Bryan Cranston vibe, you know?
Yeah. So he's in that range.
He actually is a veteran, and that's like the whole thing
once
about
honored.
Him.
Yeah, didn't he get his eyes shot out? Or was that the guy in Solitude?
That's the dude in Solitude.
Solitude.
My bad.
He's still being taken care of by his daughters and complains all the time.
Yeah, and doesn't he still beg?
Yeah. Yep. Even though he's not homeless, because I think he lives with his daughters.
Yeah, that's real as hell. Oh, no, he asked you to like get his helmet. I'm sorry, I'm getting off track. My bad.
It's okay.
But
it's
the one answer, he's like, oh, I used to fight in the war. I used to mean something. And he's like literally like a washed up like soldier who has nothing left to live for.
His whole thing, he's basically one of those guys who played like high school football, and that's his entire personality.
Yeah, he's got that kind of vibe. The like you should have known me in my glory days. And it's like, when was that? 30 years ago. You know? Okay.
I used to be able to throw this football over that mountain.
He's right. Bill Gilchrist in Skyrim.
What was that guy's uncle? What was his name?
Uncle Rico?
Yep. Uncle Rico, yes. From Napoleon Dynamite. That was it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely got an Uncle Rico vibe. Yeah. Oh, man. This is a good. What inspired you to bring this one up, Aaron?
Just the fact that he's a beggar that you can marry.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's another one of those fun little bits in Skyrim that makes you appreciate the game. It's like, oh, well, you can marry certain people. One of them's a beggar. It's this guy. It's not any beggar. It's just this guy. And he still asks for money.
Bethesda doesn't do enough for diversity. We even have homeless people to marry.
Sure.
Just a homeless person.
A singular homeless person. He is the most desirable of all homeless people.
And he was one of the first Stormcloaks too. So, I mean, he's not even that great.
Well, I mean, that's subjective. Yeah, you're going to get people arguing.
Some people are like, no, that's what makes him the greatest.
Right, yeah. Those fighting words right there.
Hey. I'm with the Stormcloaks, but he could still be fighting.
Richmond,
is all I'm saying.
I'm offended.
Uh-oh. All right.
I hate the Empire too, but now you Stormcloaks.
Oh no. All right. Well, this is a really
You're just
fun.
Just mad that Steel beats your sticks.
Maybe we should do a pick a faction and then debate why the faction is the better faction than the other factions episode.
We did do a Imperial versus Stormcloaks before,
right.
But maybe
we could expand
broaden that up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That could go so south.
Someone can side with the Thalmor. Someone can side with the Reach. There's other political factors there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, this was pretty cool. We just lost Falcon, so hopefully Falcon can join us again. Maybe it's just internet issues, but hopefully Falcon can join us. Baron, any other thoughts on this one?
Nope.
This is fun. This is another fun suggestion. I knew you guys were going to come up with stuff that I hadn't thought about in a long time. So I appreciate that. Let's keep it moving. I guess we have Ben. Is Ben?
Yeah.
Ben's the only one left.
Another from Windhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bring on the racists.
Aventus Argentina.
Okay, never mind.
Even though, you know, he's kind of he's a lesser NPC. He's only there for one little miscellaneous quest that makes you kill a older terrible woman.
Quite a prolific quest. Oh, it's the little quest.
I mean, he's absolutely he's one of those quests you have to get through if you want to do a main quest line, right?
Yeah, but
also extremely disturbing because he's a child.
Exactly.
Mess with a lot. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. So for people who maybe haven't played Skyrim, maybe some, you know what? That's really odd. There will be people listening to this who have played Oblivion because they got into the remaster and haven't played Skyrim
don't,
yet.
Don't say that. Don't
so I now us. Have to. I have to consider this. I can't just assume. Yeah, I can't just assume that like people are like, oh yeah, Aventus, Dark Brotherhood questline. Like they'll just know. No, they maybe they don't know, right? So okay, so Ben, he's the boy who you have to talk to in order to get into the.
You talk to at a complete like random rumor mill. Mm-hmm. You go to him after you picklock into his house.
Yeah,
you have to picklock into the house. You can't just walk in, as he's you know doing the black sacrament of you know over a skeleton with blood and gore and hearts and all that, and then task you, hey, go kill this old woman who's you know terrible.
Yeah,
who is terrible? Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah. Where did you get all those body parts?
Isn't Grelod the lowest?
I think he literally he talks about digging them up out of the
like Hall of the Dead.
Not the Hall of the Dead.
I thought the skeleton was Sigma. His mom.
I think it's implied that they are his parents, but it doesn't outright say. But it's like, oh, he got the flesh from the Hall of the Dead, which is where they store the recently deceased, and obviously, like the long deceased are probably a little harder to access, but they are still in the Hall of the Dead. Yeah, so he probably went in and got his like mother's corpse and got the parts from that, or maybe he got them from some other corpse. It never outright says, but it does imply it was his parents.
Yeah, that tracks.
Right, I feel like you know. Who's going to suspect the kid?
Right. Yeah. If I recall correctly, I believe that tracks. And then there's Grela the Kind, the old lady who runs the orphanage.
Who's not kind.
Right?
And
right.
She has solo NPC. You can guaranteed suplex her every time you strike at her if you stand behind her.
Yeah. She has one hit point.
So satisfying.
She has one hit point.
Lowest HP one. NPC in the game.
Right.
So any hit is guaranteed kill, so it'll always go to the kill cam, give you a cool kill shot, and if you do it unarmed, you can suplex her.
Right.
It's so great.
Download the mod suplex is the only I'm doing right you a favor.
Killing.
Yeah, maximum suplexing carnage. Her in front of all of the children is so satisfying every time.
It's like, and it's great. Great sword, you know, watch the guts.
Yeah. And when she dies, you get a letter. Hey, you can now adopt kids from the orphanage.
Right, because she literally keeps them from being adopted, so she can continue to torture the kids. So, like, she she definitely deserved to die. She was a horrible, horrible human.
So, can you imagine coming at this from the perspective of one of the children in the orphanage? And one day, you're like, "Oh, Greylog's being such. Oh, she's so mean. She's so mean. Just leave us alone." And then some guy just shows up, suplexes her in front of you, murders her, and then leaves. And then comes back like a week later and is like, "I'm your new adopted parent.
I'm your paw boy." No,
the greatest thing is you can literally go in there later that evening, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's the next day. Mm-hmm. So you can be like, "Hey guys, remember me?
Hey, I'm back. Anybody want to come home with me?"
Like, oh, our hero. Can you train me what you did to her?
The courier is so real for that, giving you the letter, even though he probably knows because he's omniscient.
The courier.
I can't remember if I had to get a mod for it or if it's just base game that you can adopt a kid if you have enough homes to send them to. But if you have enough houses that you own, you can like literally adopt the entire orphanage. I remember that's I did that mod. One playthrough where I that's okay, yeah, it probably was a mod.
You have a max of two, no matter what.
Yeah,
unless you mod.
I killed her, and literally the next day I went in and adopted every single one of them. It was just so funny.
You separated the kids, dude. That's crazy.
So here's a fun
home. Left them home alone.
Separated them.
No, because you have your steward.
Oh, yeah, you put a steward in one, you put your wife in the other, you just make them be babysitters for like what? Mm-hmm. Dude, that's insane.
No, because you get the house. You're
fend off these wolves, boy.
You literally have like seven different families.
What, you make them fend for themselves?
With 12 of them per house. Dope. Yes, I do.
You just have lots of different wives, and then you put each wife in a different
orphanage
home.
Now.
My Rob's grandfather was a polygamist. I know what I'm doing.
Underground child services network. Okay, that's all it is.
Oh, this is.
Yeah, he's trying to repopulate the earth like Musk is trying to repopulate the earth.
That is the most insane thing.
Okay, we don't need to go there.
I'm taking people who were already born.
Got it.
That is insane, bro.
That's fun. That's fun. But here's a fun idea. And Ben, we only get to interact with Aventis a little bit because he's part of the beginning of the quest line. You get through
Go back to the orphanage. Are you going to adopt him?
I don't think so.
He stays in Windhelm.
I think
he does go back to the orphanage.
I don't recall him ever going. I adopted every single kid there. I don't recall
Google
him
time.
A, maybe
you
he
can't
can
adopt him, but he does go back to the orphanage.
Huh.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't see that here.
I wonder if there's a chance he does and a chance he doesn't, because I just don't have any memory of that. Or maybe that's like a patch thing.
The only reason I know is because
Aventis says he will, but he doesn't. Unless you have the unofficial patch, in which case he will return.
Called it patch.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, here's a fun idea.
He's a liar.
Here's a fun idea. Imagine the next Elder Scrolls game, Elder Scrolls 6, is within a lifespan of this one, and Aventis shows up as a member of the Brotherhood.
I want to see...
That'd be great.
One of the other NPCs see that. I didn't He's bring up is listener. Another kid, and I want to see kids in that like were kids in Skyrim that are like grown up, and and maybe the game's so far in the future that it's like, okay, but we don't see them in real life, but we see a book that mentions the like prolific thing that they left on this world.
Yeah, this wouldn't be a first time that Bethesda has done that. Like they will take characters and
Fallout
carry them.
Fallout 3,
there's characters in 3 there and 4, yeah.
Oblivion, the guy who is the alien scholar, his friend Sorkelin, you can meet him in Morrowind in like a mine or something. Umbacano was his name, that guy. And that would totally be sick if you can meet Aventis.
Yeah,
I know you meet the descendant of the guy that's sitting across you in the Oblivion cell at the beginning of the game. You meet his descendant, I think, somewhere in Riften.
Yeah. He's in the meadery.
Yeah,
well, that stuff is so good.
So here's the loophole. If it ends up being in the same lifespan between 5 and 6, you just make your character and name him Aventis Aretino.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, and then you become a Brotherhood member, and then you you do terrible things.
New role-playing idea. Your next character for Skyrim, when you go through with your next assassin build, you name your character last name Aretino. And Aventis was the bastard's son, and some other person raised him.
Uh-oh.
But now that's why the mother was alone, and she died alone, and that's why he has to go to the orphanage.
Or he's just the
your new character. Uncle. You're welcome. That also makes sense.
I don't want to hog too much time, but I do want to bring up the other NPC I was thinking about. I'm just going to mention him and then we'll move on. Haming from Helgen is the kid who survives Helgen. He's besides like Elwyn and like the general, he's like literally the only civilian who survives. And that's such a cool backstory for a character. So when you're talking about like making a character that is Aventis Aretino, that would be another one where it's like, oh, I'm going to make a kid who is a grown up
Breath of Kind guy, right?
Yeah, that's the one that had
Broki. He's such a cool character. And I was like, I would want to see him in Elder Scrolls 6, like all grown up, or maybe like seeing what he did because
he could literally, be a Blades agent.
He could be like radicalized by the old Nordic ways because
he's become
his
a Blades agent because he saw Alduin come back. And he's like a leader of the Blades when they're fighting the Thalmor. You just came up with the plot for Elder Scrolls 6. He's Martin Septim in Elder Scrolls 6.
He becomes the new Emperor.
Too much, but he's really cool.
Yeah. Oh man. I love all these ideas. This is so fun. All right. Well, cool stuff, Ben. Anything else you want to bring up about Aventis before we move on?
Because Falcon's back. No. Just it starts the best guild quest line because you just kill people. It's great for money.
For money. Yay. All right. Cool. Falcon, I'm glad you're back. You disappeared for a minute, but I'm glad you're back. I think you're going to round this out for us. What character are you bringing up?
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
I guess I'll call them radiant NPCs in Arena. Just the ones you see around town and in taverns.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay. This is a deep
pull. What a callback.
Didn't expect this. Okay. So what about them specifically? And you're talking Arena, the very first Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, the very first game. I think I think up until Skyrim, it was common to like, in Skyrim, the NPCs you can talk to and like have conversations with, you know, they're important. Mm-hmm. I think, is Skyrim the first one to do that? Because I think you talk to like anyone and have like somewhat of a conversation before. At least I know up until.
I'd argue with Oblivion, like you can do quite a lot of interactions with a lot of NPCs that mean absolutely nothing to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
I don't know enough about the others.
But even if you go back to Daggerfall, you can still.
Arena does it over.
You can talk to anyone in Daggerfall. You just won't say anything irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah. You can talk to anybody.
They're all just like, oh, I have a wife, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah, it's like real life.
Is that how most of your real life conversations go? Hi, nice to meet you. I have a wife. Cool. See you later.
Awesome. Good to know.
That is how people I talk to at work act sometimes. So he's got a point.
The first time. Okay. So here's fun real life story. The first time I talked to my current wife, who I've been married to for a very long time.
My wife.
I was at a dance because some of you know I've done swing dancing and that kind of thing for a long time. But anyway, I started going out dancing again and was introducing myself to the different people at the dance because I was like, well, I need to make sure I know people. So if I come back out again, I won't be like shy to go talk to people. So I'm introducing myself to lots of different people throughout the room. So I sit down next to her towards the end of the night and finally made my way over to that side of the room. And I reached my hand out to shake her hand. I was like, hi, I'm Tom. I'm new to the scene. Nice to meet you. And the first thing she responded with is hi. And then she said her name. And then she said, my boyfriend's a dance instructor. And I was like, I'm not hitting on you. I'm just introducing myself to everybody.
That's so funny.
So that's almost the equivalent of like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm married. Okay, cool. Bye.
Yeah, it's a little like the opening line, I have a boyfriend.
Right.
I have a friend. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, fun little story. Okay, so let's talk about random NPCs from Arena. Why is this on your list? What specifically about them? Yeah.
But like populations in towns are able to be way bigger in Arena than in later games because somehow it was less intensive to have more people, probably because everything is just generating, none of it's real. But your map is not marked. You have to talk to them. So you'll have to go through and talk to like, you know, eight people until someone actually has any idea what you're talking about to like find the ruin you're going towards or whatever be it.
Right. Because you have to kind of ask around in order to kind of figure out where, who you have to talk
around,
to.
You go into a tavern and it becomes very much the I have a boyfriend. Everyone in the taverns is very rude.
Right. Yeah. Did you go back recently and play Arena?
Yeah, I'm currently playing Arena.
Oh, interesting. When did you start playing again? Like, how much time have you put into it?
I'm probably like 5 hours in.
So it's still pretty fresh.
I don't think I'm far from, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
It feels like it's been a good game.
So how's that going? How does that feel in 2025 to be opening up a 30-year-old game?
It feels like it's 30 years old.
It does feel like it's
30 years old. It's not aged well. PC games from the mid-90s generally don't feel good.
Yeah.
No. Outside of Doom.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. Especially like the ones that ran in DOS.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a DOS box.
Yep.
But I mean, we're here for Bethesda games. Gameplay is not really the biggest thing in those, so I don't really care that it feels bad. I like talking to the people and seeing the story and the lore.
Mm-hmm. So what have you noticed in at least this first 5 hours that you're kind of surprised about Were you surprised about all the NPCs and having to talk to them? Or is there other stuff that kind of hit you?
Yeah, the town, like I mentioned, the towns are very populated. Is that I assume it's like some short sort of procedural generation to get all those NPCs in there or something? Yes. Along those lines.
Yes, I believe even in Arena, there is some level of procedural generation happening.
The towns feel comparatively, it is more limited, like graphically, but the towns feel more grand in Arena.
Yeah, Arena
is like six dudes and one of them's an asshole. So
right, Arena and Daggerfall, the towns, the scale of the town, even like the smallest towns in Daggerfall are like at least the size of like Windhelm, you know, like, yeah, or bigger.
They're actual towns, not neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah. But yeah.
More people I found live in my house than live in White
Shallow.
Right.
Wide, broad, but shallow.
Right. But I found going back to play a game like Daggerfall, I was happy to go back to Oblivion or Skyrim and have a smaller condensed area where I was more aware of what I was looking for and where to go. Because sometimes you would end up at a town and you'd be like, all right, but I'm looking for an inn. And it's like, okay, which of these four inns? Okay, you know, like
you can kind of keep the town in your head.
Yeah,
I spent like 90 minutes doing what I need to do in the game, and the rest is wandering confused.
Right, and so
probably how that journey would actually go if you're in those shoes.
Right. Yeah. Imagine you just wandered into a town of like 400 people, and you were like, "Okay, I need to find somebody whose name is this." Go ahead, Falcon.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is you wander into the town of 400 people and have to find the like three people that live there that can get you to this crypt. Say, oh yeah, that's, I don't know, like 7 kilometers east or whatever.
Right. And I get that. Like, I get that that was engaging at the time and it made you feel like it was more like a real situation. But I also, if I've got an hour to play the game, I kind of don't want to have to go around talk to a bunch of NPCs that don't have anything to give me until I stumble upon the right one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I'm happy they went away from that, but it is cool to go back and see it.
Cool. All right, so back to the NPCs. Anything else about them that stands out? That did you notice, like, a certain repetition in the way they look or the lines that they deliver? Did they all start giving you the same lines over and over again?
Yeah, it's... There's a couple of, I don't know if job's the word, I don't know a better way to describe it, like, people in the tavern, they're just rude and unhelpful except for the bartender. Mages seem to know a good amount.
If somebody started coming up and asking you questions at a bar, would you be friendly with them, though?
Yeah, but I like people, though.
But to most people?
Depends on the question.
That's the issue.
If someone asked you, do you know where this person lives? Would you be like, yeah, I know where that guy lives. Just some random dude in the bar that you've never seen before.
They don't even let you get that far in Arena.
It's literally just small towns.
Off.
Dude, I would be like that. When I was out with my boys earlier, if someone came up to me like, hey, do you know where John Smith lives? I'd be like, dude, why do you want to know? That's kind of realistic.
It's just like asking a question. Do you know the Muffin Man?
Why do you want to know? What do you know about the Muffin Man?
That's a city slicker mentality. That's a big city boy. Small town's like, oh, John? Yeah, John's right down the road.
No, if it was a stranger, if it was somebody that I've spoken to before, they'd be like, hey, buddy, it's been a minute. How you doing? You know where John is? I'd be like, yeah, isn't he down on Brown Ave? I'd be like, yeah, he lives on 12th. But if it's like some random person that you've never seen before, that makes sense.
Then what if? Like,
who are you asking? Right. Why are you asking me? Why don't you ask him? Why can't you go ask him yourself, huh?
But what if you live in Tamriel and everything's out to kill you all the time?
Then I would be 100% like, no, never. I'm not telling you where any person I care
right.
about.
Right. Which is why
bad enough to make it worse.
Yeah, which is why you'd be like the grumpy people at the tavern, because you're like, this is the one spot of joy I have in my life. This beer I have in my hand right now.
Do not talk to me.
Leave me alone. Yeah. I was attacked by Daedra.
Three more shots. Get out of here.
Yeah. So, well, yeah.
Maybe buy me five meads. Then maybe we'll talk.
Sorry, what was that, Falcon?
Town greeters are kind of friendly, but useless. They're willing to talk, but they don't actually know anything besides like how to be happy to you.
How to be happy to you. That's my
ability. Like a concierge at a business.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like the Walmart greeters at the front of the store.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a really good example.
That's exactly what that is. Hey, welcome to Walmart. Cool. Can you tell me where the toothpaste aisle is? That way somewhere. Nope. Welcome.
Isn't
welcome.
Like that one kid from cool, the thanks. King of the Hill pilot? What are you looking to buy in the hardware section? I just want to go where the hardware section is. What are you looking to do? They're like so useless, dude.
Yeah, right.
Arena NPCs are kind of useless.
If you're a Walmart greeter and you're listening to the show, first of all, hey,
stop being
to the show.
At an arena NPC.
Yeah. Secondly, am I misrepresenting you? And if I am, I'm sorry. I don't know that many Walmart greeters. This is just my imaginary version of what I think they must be like.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to slander Walmart greeters across this great country of ours. Okay, so anything else, Falcon? Anything else you want to add in?
No, I think that's it. They just make it feel more engaging than the Skyrim NPCs. More, I don't know, how real life would feel in that situation.
The fact that they are just kind of rude in a tavern is more realistic? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not just the tavern people, but like, not everyone in a town. Like, most people you can get a conversation with in real life if you're willing to talk to them. But that doesn't mean, you know, you can talk to them about anything you want.
Right.
You gotta find the person who actually knows what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. The characters in Skyrim are pretty chatty. The characters in Oblivion are very chatty. And talk you up at a moment's notice. Hey there. Good day to you. Yeah. You know, and it's like, hey, I'm not talking to you, buddy. Just walking by.
Have you heard of Armand Christoph? That's like. They all just tell you people's names without any hesitation in Oblivion. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird, but also kind of cool at the same time because it feels so unique to that world.
Like, you maybe don't have that's to just ask where John Smith lives. They just tell you.
Right. Maybe that's just how society works there.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that's really cool about Oblivion compared to Skyrim is when you become the champion of Cyrodiil or even the hero of Kvatch, like even at that base level, when you go and talk to people, they're like, holy crap, you're the hero or you're the champion. And like the more renowned you are, the more people, like common everyday civilians, know who you are compared to in Skyrim. Like you can be the Dragonborn, finish the entire quest line, and then go to join the companions. And they're like, we don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah, there's a difference between the way I'm sure we could probably delve into this in a whole episode, but there's a difference between like, hey, I'm deep in a quest line and they don't know as I'm important as I am because that's just not how they designed the quest line. But then there are still people who recognize you like in public who will be like, hey, you're the guy who did this. And like some of them will recognize you, but it's not as common
in Skyrim that recognize.
Yeah, the guards especially.
It's just because the guards have the most radiant dialogue. If it's in Whiterun, they'll be like, oh, you helped them kill that dragon or whatever. But they'll also, like, write, like, the next time you interact with them, they'll be like, what are you, would someone steal your sweet roll? It's kind of, like, inconsistent.
It is inconsistent, yeah. I also feel like...
There's just, like, a big pool of potential dialogue for them, so it kind of feels, like, on and off.
Right. Now, going back in my memory, and maybe I'm wrong because it's so long ago, but I feel like one of the big criticisms of Oblivion was the fact that they noted so much, that so much of the dialogue became like, hey, I know you. Like, that just kind of took up a lot of that chatter toward the end game. And I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't roll that back a little bit from that response. But I could be misremembering. I don't know. It's been so long. So there you go. Well, this is fun, Falcon, bringing up these old NPCs and the way they interact and all of that. Very cool stuff. I'm unfortunately, I guess Lotus still isn't here. I mean, it looks like he's on Discord, but I don't know what's going on. He and I both had some stuff come up over the last few days that caused us to push this episode back. So I hope he's doing okay. All right. Well, it looks like we're at the end of the show, friends. We got to wrap this up real quick before we wrap it up. I have to say welcome to our newest patrons. We have Nicholas B, Talon L, and Liana R. I'm just going to call the names that and keep the last names, even if they're fictional, private, just for security reasons, I guess, safety. Thank you for joining us on the Patreon, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Also, I have to shout out all of our Daedric Princes, Baron Vinginji. I just squished that into one word, Vinginji. It's all just one word now. That's cool.
I kind of like it. I might take the spaces out now.
Baron Vinginji, Blinding Vision, Hersine, Kirasi, Mothman, and Peter R. Thank you so much for your continued support, and to all of our patrons, including all of you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like to help out in other ways, first of all, you can join us on the Patreon for future chats like this. But if you'd like to help out, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And we got a new one that came in, guys. If you want to kind of chime in this one, this one's pretty fun. And kind of fun in another way as well. This is from Cade Jacobson, I think is the full one word name, who writes, entertaining and informative. This show is a phenomenal instruction into my many crazy parts of an equally crazy universe. The hosts do an amazing job of balancing depth with approachability and general appreciation of the IP. I'm over 100 episodes in and hope you enjoy it as much as I do. P.S. Hello to the Daedric Prince level supporters. So I guess, hello. Baron, that's you in this group. The rest of you, they're like, yeah, whatever. But hello to the Daedric Prince supporters. Thank you for taking the time to leave that, Cade. I appreciate it. And if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts in the U.S. where I can read them now, then I'll read it out on a future episode. But if you're outside the U.S., please do that as well, because even if I can't see it, somebody else can. And that helps a ton. But there you go. Also, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at voiceline.app/Elder Scrolls. And maybe it'll get on a future episode and we'll respond to it. There is one that came in, but I'm gonna save this one for when Lotus is here. So we'll get into that in a future episode. And let's wrap this up. We're gonna go back through in the order that people are on my screen, which means we're starting with Ben. And feel free to share anything you want to put out into the universe. And thanks for being here, Ben.
Yeah, you know me. I have so much I do. I am also a podcast host with a plethora of shows, which are Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and now the Witcher Lorecast. So, yeah, I do way too much.
A lot of shows.
I do a lot.
Yep.
I do a lot of shows.
Yeah. And you can check them out wherever you're listening to this. You can find those. So go look them up.
Yeah. And I just got a Secret Labs chair. So I'm loving that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I have one right there. Can you see it? There you go. Actually, this was my wife's chair and I stole it.
I thought that was supposed to be a secret.
It's also supposed to be in a lab. Secret. It's neither a secret nor a lab. Discuss. Does anybody even get that joke anymore? Rob gets it, I guess. All right, Ben, thank you for being here, and go check out Ben's shows. Rob, you got anything going on?
Yeah, I'm just gonna also shine a light on Wasteland Oni's reminder for the random page at the end.
Yeah, so I've got it up here.
Okay, and cool.
Interestingly enough, it's an NPC.
Oh, hey, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
I don't really do a whole lot online, but I am one of the Discord server admins for the Robots Radio Discord, so you can find me there. In theory, I'm still a guild officer for the ESO guild as well, so you could ask me if I want to play, and maybe I say yes. I haven't played in a while.
Well, there's new stuff. There's new stuff.
Yeah, and then Blue Sky, Rob the Princess. Also, check out the Sky Believing Project. We're almost there. That's it.
Cool. Yeah, go jump in ESO. There, I added laser beams to my night blade. Laser
Thanks
beams
for asking.
To my night
no.
blade. It's fun. It's fun.
You know, I have no problems against it. I'm just like, my mind is so... Right now, I'm on a Final Fantasy kick because I'm into Magic the Gathering, and they did a Final Fantasy crossover. Uh-huh. And so I just started replaying Final Fantasy 8. And
you went back to 8? Oh,
yeah.
Why? We need to talk about MTG later.
Junction system's terrible.
Screw you. Junction system is amazing. It makes you like as powerful as a god, and also it's the game that introduced gun swords. Are you kidding me?
Gun swords, which don't even make sense, but they look cool.
They're so cool.
You guys are Bethesda fans. How can you hate on MTG? They got Fallout in it, dude. Skyrim's coming soon. It's gotta be.
We probably will get a crossover.
Dude, I can't wait until I can run Dark Elves in my Shadow the Hedgehog deck with MTG, dude.
He did just announce a Sonic crossover. People are joking about making like an all Latinas deck with Shadow the Hedgehog as the
commander. What do you think I'm doing?
That was Professor Bayless. That post that you are referencing was his online.
Dude, I'm putting Kellogg in the deck. It's just good.
Kellogg and Shadow, Kellogg, Shadow, Deadpool.
I have nothing else to talk about.
I don't know enough about this, but that sounds exciting. Thanks, Rob. All right, Baron, thank you for joining us. What do you got going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything to share?
So I'm actually in the process of making my own podcast. You know, I emailed you about that a little bit in very small detail, but that is something I'm working on. So I'll have more details about that in the future. But if you want to play ESO or anything with me, all of my names on everything is Baron Von Gingy. So,
or maybe Baron Von Gingy.
Baron Von Gingy. Yeah, just say it really fast.
There you go. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, and good luck starting up your show and whatever you decide to do with all of that. And definitely come back and let us know. Cool stuff.
Sweet. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Oni, thank you for joining us here.
No worries. Yeah, pretty much Wasteland Oni on Discord, Blue Sky. I've got my link tree posted in my Discord biography, so anywhere else you can find me there. And if any artists are participating in an art fight this year, you can find me there on Ashen_Oni_creations. So yep, that's all I got.
Cool. I don't know much about this. Is there a site people can go to if they want to participate? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so it's a website called Art Fight, and it's basically an annual thing that lasts all through July. And it's just basically an art trading game. So you pick the other team and you attack them by drawing them their characters, and it adds up points. And then at the end of the month, whichever team has like the most points wins. It's all just for fun. There's no like any physical prizes or anything, but it's just a fun game for artists.
Oh, that's so fun. That sounds great. If yeah. If I was a better artist, I would maybe I'm not a great artist. I'm more of a graphic designer and do other things, but a little bit. But yeah, that sounds really cool. I hope you have a blast with that. And if you're listening and you're an artist and you want to get involved, that sounds great. Yeah, go look that up.
Yeah.
Oni, thanks for joining us. All right, Lord Professor.
Oh, do I have something to say? I want to go full wrestling promo on this because me and the boys, we have our whole group thing. For our whole thing is, as much as I'm an Elder Scrolls fan, big thing for me is Digimon card game. You can find us on DigiHere TCG, Digi, capital D, here, like listening here, exclamation point, question mark, on Instagram Reel specifically. DigiHere, Digimon. We're going to regionals, 12 days. We're going at you. I'm hunting for heads. My boy, Tom, he's bringing the chaos to Roanoke. My boy, one of my other boys, Jack, he's Xing you off his list. My boy, Johnny, Magnemon, everybody. Regionals, 12 days. Follow, watch along. We're counting down the days. We're coming for all y'all. Roanoke, Virginia. Follow DigiHere, TCG, Reels, YouTube soon. Maybe, I don't know. Whenever I've stopped playing Skyrim, I can be bothered to edit our matches. You know what's up. Come on. You know what's going down. We're hunting for all y'all. We're coming for all y'all. Magnemon, everybody.
Oh yeah, brother. Can you say "oh yeah, brother" in a voice? In a
gruff voice. Also, probably with the second that they do a secret lair for Elder Scrolls, I'm never going to shut up about it.
Mm. Oh yeah, Magic the Gathering. Yeah,
dude, you know it. You know the second I can run the same deck that has any probably Dark Elves would probably be black red. I'm going to run Dr. Robotnik, Shadow the Hedgehog, Iron Man, Battle Bus from Fortnite, Hatsune Miku. What else is in Magic the Gathering?
Why do you think all Dark Elves are going to be in a color of magic?
Some one of them is going to be. I'm saying that because I want to run in the same deck as Shadow the Hedgehog.
Well, good luck. I hope that works out.
Hatsune Miku. Who else is in the game?
Hatsune Miku's gotten like six different revisits.
She's on
with
all
magic.
Of my really. She's on Soul Ring, dude. I circulate the same Soul Ring every the same as I
They've
do.
They've released
my...
so many Hatsune Miku sets for some reason.
Dude, she's so real. She's so based. Can I get a Teto one? Because like that's the right color scheme. I always play blue decks.
I'm prepared.
I'm distracted.
I'm prepared at this moment to see a review pop up that says, I thought this was an Elder Scrolls podcast. What the hell?
Digimon everywhere. I can't. The shirt won't
show
off.
Your background.
It won't do it. It won't work.
I just threw the shirt. I don't know why I did that. Digimon, we're coming for all y'all. Y'all know what's coming.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, Professor. All right. Let's Falcon, you got to follow that up somehow. I'm not sure how to do that.
I don't think I can. I don't do enough to follow that up. I'm Falcon the Box on in the Discord. Supposedly I have multiplayer games on Steam, but Day of Defeat is the only one I have installed. So
okay.
Effectively, I have nothing.
Day of Defeat. It's a shooter, right? Day of Defeat.
Yeah.
I heard Data Feet. I think my
not Data's my feet.
Earphones cut out. I was like, what? I'm sorry. Did you say acknowledge like a foot fetish on the podcast?
Data's feet.
Foot fetish game.
It's a Star. It's a Star Trek.
Talking about
it's the data from Star Trek.
Programming for the test and make this.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining.
I gotta go.
this is how this goes sometimes. Everything just gets a little crazy, but it's fun. Falcon, thank you for being here. Everybody, thank you for the support. And chat, thank you for being here as well. And I'm gonna find out what's going on with Lotus. Hopefully he's okay. He still hasn't responded to my messages. He's probably fine. But thank you everybody for joining me. And we've got a random page. You ready for the random page? Are you ready? This is from Elder Scrolls Online under the category of people. North Point Farmer. It's an NPC. North Point farmers are Breton refugees taking shelter in the abandoned farmhouse southwest of North Point. They have no unique dialogue. This is the most not interesting NPC you could possibly have clicked on randomly somehow. Let's see. Breton race, gender varies. There's both here.
Good for them.
Health. Yeah, good for them. Health, 25,974. Reaction, justice neutral. Pickpocket, easy, profession, farmer. Related quest, North Point in peril. Help House Doral find a way into their own city. That's it. That's what I get, a picture of two different farmers on the page. There you go. That's our random page. So I'm surprised none of you brought up North Point Farmer.
That was third on my list.
Was it?
We just didn't get there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They probably need more.
That was on my list respect. Right after Jubal.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for joining me. This has been super fun. Lotus and I will be back next week as long as hopefully he's alive. I don't know what's going on. People are going to be writing me now. They're going to be like, what's going on with Lotus? Is he okay?
You're definitely not helping with the hopefully he's alive.
I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's totally fine. He's totally fine.
He's probably dead. New England, but... dude. Our weather is so like back and forth. We go from like 100 something one day to 60 the next day. He's probably just reeling from that.
Well, so he and I both had some minor injuries a few days ago, which is part of why we pushed out back the recording of this episode. So hopefully that I don't, it's nothing.
The weather probably ain't helping.
It's been nothing terrible, but hopefully he's okay. Anyway, thank you everybody for being here. We'll be back next week with more stuff as usual. And until next time, appreciate the NPCs that you haven't thought about very often, or go marry the only homeless person in Skyrim and build a family with the children from the orphanage who you have to now take care of because you killed Greelod. This is all, it all connects. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.